Most of you know that before my family and I moved to Oregon, we lived in Kodiak, Alaska for 14 years. Kodiak, the home of the largest brown bears in the world. And so, of course, whenever somebody would come to Kodiak to visit us, one of the things that they would always say they wanted to do was to get to see one of the brown bears. And so if it was the right time of year and the salmon were in the river, we would typically try to drive out the road, this road which went by several of these rivers that had salmon in them. And sometimes, if you were fortunate, you could see one of these bears out fishing for salmon, or at least playing in the water. But oftentimes, you would not. Usually, you would not. Even though there were something like 3,000 bears. Does that sound right? 3,000 bears on Kodiak Island. You could not be sure that you would get to see one. But there was something that you could always count on getting to see whenever we would drive out the road like that. And that is a Coast Guard Jayhawk helicopter, even though there were only about half a dozen of those in Kodiak. You see, the road that we would take us right by the Coast Guard base. And every day, rain or shine, a Jayhawk helicopter was sitting out there on the tarmac, ready to go. And that's because when a boat starts to sink, when a fisherman goes overboard, or a small plane crashes, the faster the Coast Guard can get there to help them, the more likely it is that they can save someone's life. And so for that reason, they always have a helicopter and a crew alert and ready to go at a moment's notice. Because they never know when they might get a call. But rain or shine, day or night, they are ready to go. Now, I probably don't need to convince you of the importance of the Coast Guard being alert and ready. I mean, after all, preparedness is a basic part of their line of work. But did you know that Jesus is calling on his followers to be similarly alert and ready? Not for the event of a sinking ship, but for the event of his second coming. The Bible tells us that we need to be alert and ready, that is part of following Jesus. Now, over the last several weeks, we've seen Jesus warning his followers about different things that can keep them from following him like they should. We've learned how things like fear and greed and worry can keep us from fully engaging in the mission and the ministry of Jesus like he's called us to do. Well, today we're going to learn that not being alert and ready can keep us from following Jesus like we should. And so this morning we're going to see that followers of Jesus are to be alert and ready for his coming. We're going to learn how bad it will be for those who are not ready. And then we'll consider for a few moments what alert and ready looks like for us today. I invite you to open up your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. If you didn't bring your own Bible or aren't going to use your phone, I encourage you to grab one of the red Bibles in the row in front of you. Luke chapter 12, I think it's page 1620, although I didn't write it down, but I think it's 1620. Luke chapter 12. Followers of Jesus are to be alert and ready for his coming. Jesus is continuing to get his disciples ready to join him in his message and in his mission. And he wants them to understand that remaining alert and ready is part of following him. And so he uses a parable about faithful servants to show them what this looks like. Look at verse 35. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So Jesus begins here with a command, be dressed, ready for service, keep your lamps burning. Now, more literally, the text actually says, let your loins be girded. Now, that's not a phrase that we typically use today, may not be one that you would even understand what it means, and so that's why the NIV translated as be dressed, ready for service. In the ancient Near East, people often wore long robes or a cloak as just their regular mode of dress. And if you're wearing something like this, it's not easy to work or to move quickly when you're wearing that kind of clothing, unless, of course, you cinch it up and tuck the long ends of it into your belt. And so this is what it means to gird up your loins. A burning lamp meant that someone was prepared to move quickly, even if it's dark out. And so Jesus uses these two common images to create a picture of being alert and ready for action. Well, from there, Jesus now moves into a parable, a brief and simple parable about faithful servants who are waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. They're anticipating his return, but they don't know when it's going to be. You see, a wedding banquet could go on for days, even a week sometimes. And so these faithful servants have committed themselves to readiness. They want to be ready to open the door when he knocks, no matter the day or the hour. Now, Jesus goes on and he says here that these servants are going to be rewarded for this kind of faithfulness. And the nature of the reward is quite unexpected. Their master blesses them with a banquet, which it says that he will then serve to them. This is a really unexpected twist in this parable. Nothing like this would ever happen in the ancient world. And so what we have here is this extravagant picture of great reward for remaining faithfully ready. Jesus then uses a second mini parable to emphasize the importance of being alert. Now, a homeowner, of course, would not be unprepared if he knew for sure when the thief was going to break in. But because he does not know when such a thing might happen, he needs to remain alert all the time. Jesus is making the point that a faithful disciple needs to remain alert for the coming of the Son of Man, is what he says. It's one of the ways that Jesus referred to himself. Because just as the appearance of a thief, the timing of his coming, is unknown. Now, it is worth stopping there for a moment and considering what it is the disciples must have thought that Jesus was talking about here. What would they have thought he was referring to when he spoke of his coming? Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, as I know that many of you are, you probably know that what Jesus is talking about here is his second coming. The day in which he returns from heaven to claim his people, to fix everything that's broken in this world in which we live. A day that we are still waiting for today. But at this point, the disciples don't know everything that we know. We have the whole Bible. We have the whole story. We know about the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus to his throne in heaven and the promise that Jesus has made that he's going to come back again one day. The disciples didn't know all that. All the disciples know is that Jesus is unlike anyone they have ever met before. It's becoming increasingly apparent to them that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, the great rescuer king that God had promised to send to the Jewish people. But they did not understand that he's headed to the cross, or that the cross is a necessary part of God's great rescue plan for them. And so the disciples probably think that the coming that Jesus describes here is actually his public unveiling as the new king of Israel, something that they probably expected would happen at some point when they got to Jerusalem. Now, interestingly enough, they got the king part right, but not the scale nor the timing. As for scale, yes, Jesus is coming back as king, but not just of Israel. He is coming back as king over all nations and over all people. And as for the timing, it won't be when they get to Jerusalem. This journey that they are on now, this journey is taking him to a cross and to a grave, not to a throne. He is coming as the king, just not as soon as they are anticipating here. But since Jesus is coming back as the king, that means that we need to be alert and ready for his coming, his second coming. You see, these words of Jesus to his disciples are also Jesus' words to us. And just as Jesus expected his disciples to remain ready and alert for his coming, he is calling on us today to do the same. And we need to remain alert because we do not know the timing of Jesus' second coming, but he wants us to be ready for it. We know that we are closer to it today than we were yesterday. We know that we are closer now than when we started this worship service this morning. I mean, Jesus could appear in the next few moments, or it could be years and years and years from now. We just don't know, but we do need to be alert and ready for it. Because that is what faithful servants do. They patiently and expectantly wait for the coming of their master. And so part of faithfully following Jesus involves being alert and ready for his second coming. And we see here from this text that there is a prize for those who remain alert and ready. Our vigilance is going to be rewarded. We will be honored for our faithfulness, our watchfulness. We will be esteemed for being alert. As followers of Jesus, we need to remain alert and ready for his second coming. Was Jesus, in this text here, is preparing his disciples. Jesus does more than just offer them instruction and the promise of a reward. He also warns them about the real and present danger for those who are not ready for his return. And he goes on and he tells them, it's going to be really bad for those who are not ready. One of the disciples, Peter, has been listening to what Jesus has been saying, and he responds to Jesus with a question. He wants to know exactly who it is that these parables apply to. Who does Jesus expect to be alert and ready? Is it the disciples? Is it the religious leaders? Is it everybody? Well, instead of answering the question directly, Jesus just continues to expand the parable. He addresses what's going to happen to those who are not alert and ready for his coming. Tells them it's going to be really bad for those who choose not to be faithful to him. Look at verse 41. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager who the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he is not aware of. And he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much, much more will be asked. So Jesus compares a faithful servant with an unfaithful one. Both have been given the same responsibilities, to lead and to provide for those who are under their care while they wait for their master to return. The contrast here is in what each of them chooses to do and the consequences of those choices. And the difference in outcome is both dramatic and chilling. The faithful servant, he acts as a wise manager. He leads the other servants well. He provides them with the food that the master has entrusted to him. When the master returns, this servant is rewarded. Having shown his faithfulness, he's entrusted with even greater responsibilities. But the other servant is not faithful with the work or the resources that he has been given. Because the master is delayed, the unfaithful servant lives like he's never coming back. He abuses and exploits the other servants. He indulges himself with resources that were intended for others. He's completely unprepared for the master's sudden return, and it goes very badly for him when he does show up. He's cut into pieces and cast out among the unbelievers. This is a picture of utter rejection by the master. The unfaithful servant is cast out from the master's household. And then Jesus concludes by explaining that those who have been given much are held to higher levels of accountability. All unfaithful servants are punished, but some will be punished more severely than others. Now, before we think about how to apply this portion of the text to our own lives, there's a couple of interpretive issues here that we need to address. The first is the question that Peter asks of Jesus. Who is Jesus speaking to here? Who is he describing in these parables? Is it the disciples? Is it the Jewish religious leaders? Is it the crowds who've gathered to see his miracles, to hear him teach? Unfortunately, Jesus doesn't answer that question. And so we have to infer it from the text. I think that Jesus is speaking about those who are spiritual leaders, Pharisees, scribes, priests, the Jewish religious elite, the people entrusted by God to teach the people to love and to serve him. Now, this would also include the disciples, since they are going to be the first who will continue the message and mission of Jesus once he returns to heaven. They will be the first who will be the leaders of the early church. And I think that Jesus is drawing a contrast between the disciples who are learning to be faithful servants and many of the Jewish religious leaders who have been very unfaithful to the work that God has given them to do. Some of them have been guilty of using their positions of influence and power to abuse and exploit those that they're supposed to be leading and caring for. Others are getting fat and rich on the resources that God intended for them to distribute to others. Now, all that said, the importance of faithfulness, of alertness, of readiness is applicable to all believers, but especially to those who are in leadership positions. The second issue here is the status of the unfaithful servants. How does Jesus expect us to see them? Are they lost enemies of God, or are some of them just lousy followers of Jesus? Pretty much everyone agrees that the unfaithful servant that's described in verse 46 is not a believer, somebody who's completely lost. When Jesus says that he is cut into pieces and assigned a place with the unbelievers, it's pretty clear that this particular unfaithful servant, this person is not a follower of Jesus. What's less clear, the area where there's less agreement, is about the spiritual status of the unfaithful servants that are described in verses 47 and 48. A lot of the discussion comes down to whether the servants described in 47 and 48 are different than the servant who's described in 46, or whether verses 47 and 48 simply further describe unfaithful servants like the one in verse 46. I'll try to make this as clear as I can. If the servants in 47 and 48 are different than they are in 46, then it is possible that we should consider one or at least one of these servants as a follower of Jesus, in which case they are a pretty unfaithful, not alert nor ready follower, but still a follower of Jesus. But the other possibility is that there is, in this whole text here, is that there's really only one category of unfaithful servant, and that is the one who's described in verse 46. And so what we get in verse 47 and 48, these unfaithful servants are simply subcategories of the doomed unfaithful servant in 46. So in this perspective, all unfaithful servants are doomed. It's just that some are more doomed than others. There are actually places in the Bible that indicate that there are going to be varying degrees of punishment for unbelievers based on what they know and what they do. Can you put up the next slide? Thanks. In Revelation 20, where it talks about judgment, it talks about being judged according to what people have done. That means that there will be varying levels of judgment. Then in Luke 10, a text that we looked at weeks ago now, but we saw Jesus declare that the judgment against the Jewish cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida was going to be worse than that of the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon, because the Jewish cities had seen so much more, had learned so much more, and so their judgment would be greater. And so clearly, I mean, the Bible tells us consistently through all of Scripture that the judgment is going to be bad for all those who don't believe, and it's going to be even worse for some. And I think that is what Jesus is saying here. And I think that because the primary contrast that's being set up in these parables that Jesus tells is between faithful and unfaithful servants, believer and unbeliever, the follower who is alert and ready, and the non-follower who is not. And so that means the question that we should be asking ourselves as we look at this text is not, how much do I need to do in order to follow enough or to be ready enough? But rather, the question we should be asking ourselves is, which am I? Am I a faithful servant or am I an unfaithful servant? And since what really matters is that we are a faithful servant, a follower of Jesus who is in fact alert and ready for his second coming, let's take a couple moments then to consider what it looks like to be alert and ready today for the second coming of Jesus. And so let me suggest to you a couple things that we should be doing as alert, ready, and faithful servants of Jesus. And maybe this first one will surprise you a little bit, because it's not one that I often hear talked about, and yet it comes right out of this text. The first thing that each of us should be earnest... The first thing is that each of us should be earnestly faithful to the particular work that Jesus has entrusted us to do. Just as in these parables, the master entrusted his faithful servant with particular work to do, Jesus has entrusted you with particular work that he wants you to be doing. Some of you, like I, am a spiritual leader in this church. You're a deacon or a deaconess, a Sunday school teacher, a life group or Bible study leader. You're somebody who's been entrusted with the responsibility to teach, to disciple, to love, to challenge, to encourage others spiritually. If that's you, go about that work. Fulfill those responsibilities with such faithfulness that you would be unashamed if Jesus were to show up at any moment. Not all of you, of course, though, are spiritual leaders in the church, but most of you are in positions of significant spiritual influence in your homes. You have a spouse or children, grandchildren who need to hear about Jesus and need to be taught to love him. Go about that work. Fulfill those responsibilities with such faithfulness that you would be unashamed if Jesus showed up at any moment. But do not think that the only work that Jesus has given to us is spiritual work. He's also given us the physical work and the mental work that fills most of our days, most of the hours of each of our days. I'm talking about the jobs that you go to, the careers that you are pursuing, the education that you're getting, the raising of your children, the managing of your homes, the volunteer work that you do. All of this is work from God for us to do. We are faithful servants when we are faithful to the work that He has entrusted us with. Your work is not the same as my work, but your work is no less important than my work. Being the pastor of this church is the particular work that Jesus has given me to do. And so it is important that I do it faithfully, that I do it in such a way that I would be unashamed if Jesus were to show up at any moment. But it's no different for you. Do your work faithfully, whether it's going to your job, raising your children, getting an education, managing your home, working as a volunteer. Do it in such a way as you would be unashamed if Jesus were to show up at any moment. This is part of what it means for us to be faithful servants who are alert and ready for the second coming of Jesus. Let Jesus find you faithful to your work when He comes again. The second way that we show that we are faithful, alert, and ready servants is by sharing the gospel message. You know, the unfaithful servant lived like he believed his master was never coming back. If we're not praying for opportunity as well as the courage to share the gospel with others, that would seem to suggest that we are living like we don't actually believe Jesus is going to come back. If we're going to be alert and ready for the second coming of Jesus, we need to be alert and ready to share the message of Jesus. Today, our newest missionary family is moving to China. Nathan and Sarah, their children, they're making China their new home so that people who are not faithful servants of Jesus can hear and learn how to become faithful servants of Jesus. But it's not just people in China who need to hear how to be alert and ready for the second coming of Jesus. So do our friends, our neighbors, our spouses, our coworkers, our children, our grandchildren. We are surrounded by people who need to hear and better understand the gospel. Jesus is coming back. And that is really, really important news for people to hear and to understand. And you are a faithful, alert, and ready follower of Him when you share that news with other people. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? If Jesus came back before the end of this hour, would you be ready? It's a really important question. The text we've looked at today talks about the fact that Jesus is coming back. And it's reminded us that He is going to appear without warning. And if you are not ready when He comes, it will be too late. If you are not ready, you will be held accountable for every unfaithful thing you have ever done. If you are not ready, it will be the very worst day of your life. But it does not have to be. Because there is a way to make the second coming of Jesus the very best day of your life. You see, Jesus came as the ultimate, as the true faithful servant. He is God who became one of us. And he came to serve us by showing us the way back to God and to die in our place for our sins. And all that you need to do in order to become a faithful servant is to acknowledge to God that you have in fact been unfaithful to him. Believe that Jesus is exactly who he claims to be. And then commit to following him as your new master and king. And that's something that you can do right now, this morning, right where you're sitting there. You don't need to wait. And if you sense that the Spirit of God is talking to you, don't wait. To the rest of you who I know are already faithful servants of Jesus Christ, you who are alert and ready for his return, be dressed ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. Faithfully do your work, all kinds of work that Jesus has given you to do. And share the message of Jesus with all those who need to hear it. Because, my friends, this is what faithful and alert and ready servants of Jesus do. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the scriptures, your words to us that reveal you to us, the great rescue plan that you put in place from the very beginning of the world to free us from sin and death, to give us a hope, a certainty of a great future with you, of a future resurrection. And Father, we look with anticipation to that day when Jesus does come back, comes back as our King, and will fix all that is broken in this world. Father, I pray that you would impress upon us once again the reality of that future event, and that we would be challenged to live like we believe it, that it would be reflected in how we go about the day-to-day work that you've given us to do, that we would do it as faithful servants, waiting, ready, prepared, and faithful to the work you've given us. Father, but also motivated to share this news, to share this incredible news of the gospel and how anyone, how everyone can be a faithful follower of Jesus. Father, help us to take this very seriously as we look around, as we think about friends, neighbors, family members that do not know Christ. Father, I pray that we would be burdened to share the gospel with them, not just out of duty, but out of love, both for you and for them, that they would have opportunity to respond, that they would have opportunity to have the relationship and the joy that we have in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.